Broadcasting from the Hip Hop Weekly Studios, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Civic Cypher, where our mission is to foster allyship, empathy, and understanding. I am your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward. You are tuned in to Civic Cypher.
Yes, you are. And we have a very special show in store for you today. We are joined by the one, the only, Amy Owen, aka Pineapple Lawyer. And for those that don't know, Amy Owen is a civil rights attorney who has worked major civil rights cases alongside Benjamin Crump. And she's known for working alongside professional athletes and celebrities and other high-profile individuals. For those that are unfamiliar, you can find her online as Pineapple Lawyer. And she's in the studio with us today, so welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Ramses. Thanks for having me. Civic Cypher is one of my favorites, of course.
Okay. For those that don't know, she has worked major civil rights cases alongside Ben Crump, who's also a friend of the show, and I've been texting him, so he's going to come on here.
Yes, he's a busy guy, busy guy.
No, especially now. Amy's also known for working alongside professional athletes, celebrities, and other high-profile individuals, and you can find her online at Pineapple Lawyer, and we are going to be having a conversation about some recent developments with the Trump administration and some powers that are bestowed upon him by the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court's, I guess, limiting of powers elsewhere in the judicial branch, and the implications of all that. So that's that. And also for the latter part of the show, we are going to be discussing what is being marketed as the Big Beautiful Bill. A lot of folks disagree with that marketing jargon. And Alligator Alcatraz. So we have all of that and so much more to stick around for. So we hope that you do. Right now, it is time for some Ebony Excellence. And today's Ebony Excellence comes from BET Magazine, or BET.com, I should say. Willow Newell becomes the first Black woman crowned Miss Wisconsin. Along with her talents, Newell created a community initiative entitled Expression Without Exclusion, aimed at making the arts more inclusive for the community. This June, Wisconsin held the annual Miss Wisconsin competition, and Willow Newell became the first Black woman to be crowned. Willow Newell, a 22-year-old from Racine, donning a crown of natural coils and a stunning green gown, was honored with the title Miss Wisconsin 2025. A contestant in competition since 2017 when she was a teen, the 22-year-old beauty went up against 29 contestants from around Wisconsin, as reported by WMTV 15 News. Newell received a $13,000 endowment in scholarships. Newell received $13,000 in scholarships along with other awards as a result of successfully completing in five categories: evening gown, talent, private interview, health and wellness, and onstage conversation and community grace. Named the top scoring vocalist for the talent section, Newell won the Ryan Guy Memorial Music Scholarship by singing "And I'm Telling You" from the Dreamgirls musical, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You know, we just wanted to shout her out because, you know, anytime we can get a win, we will take it, and this one felt a little special. I know you can't see her photo, but suffice it to say, she is all natural. And, you know, coming from me personally, a person that wears my hair the way that it grows, I always love to see someone kind of walking in their truth, being their valid, most authentic self, and being accepted for exactly who she is. So yeah, that felt positive, and we'll take positive wherever we can get it around here. Choose the one that sent this over. Anything to add here, Q?
It's good to have something good to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's real easy right now to get bogged down on very stressful, discouraging, and just outright negative stories. So I'm glad that we even have a feature on something that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Amy Owen, we've had many conversations, and we appreciate you taking the time to come back and talk to us again. Usually, for folks that are just kind of coming to the table, you know, when it comes time to kind of make heads or tails of the judicial system or criminal proceedings or lawsuits or whatever. Amy's the person that we go we talk to. So
that is my world.
Yes,
it's a very convoluted, ever changing.
Let's do this. Introduce yourself. I know I gave a brief introduction, but introduce yourself to our listeners. Make sure everybody knows who you are, and remind them where to find you, because I know that your social media is super popping right now on Beyonce's internet, as Q would say. But also, let's let the folks know who they're going to be hearing from today.
Sure. So my real name is Amy Owen, but my nickname is Pineapple Lawyer. I'm known in my community as Pineapple Lawyer because it's easy to remember. I handle civil rights and personal injury for anyone, really, but I do specialize in celebrities, athletes, people who are a little bit more high profile. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes hire me because I have some ins and outs with that world based on my past, and I love helping people in general. So people can find me on Pineapple Lawyer on Instagram, TikTok, all of those platforms. It's Pineapple Lawyer. My actual website is www.amyowenlaw.com.
Okay.
But I think if you put in Pineapple Lawyer, it populates that as well. But yeah, I just love coming on here. I love talking to you and Q about relevant issues. I love being your legal go-to. I'll get a text message from you and I'm always like, it's going to be something good from Ramses and Q and yeah. Civic Cypher and all the different yeah. platforms that you have.
Sure.
So thank you so much for having me on. I'm so proud of the work that you guys are doing. It's so necessary.
Thank you.
Especially right now. It's like really, really needed. So
yeah. Well, speaking of which, I'll kick us off, Q. So, over the weekend, a lot of headlines about the latest developments with respect to the Supreme Court's decisions. First off, talk to us a little bit about that and what you make of it, or what you've made of it so far.
Sure. So in law school, one of my favorite subjects was constitutional law. Mm-hmm. That's where you learn about the different branches of government, the presidential branch, the Congress, and the judicial branch, mm-hmm. of course, the Supreme Court. And what's really interesting is the interplay between those three branches of government. So it's very important to know that the Supreme Court is probably the most powerful aspect of the government, because they're the ones who make sure that the Constitution is read, interpreted, and followed by the courts of law, by the states, or by the country in general, mm-hmm. as a whole, right? So this decision coming down that kind of takes away some of the power of the Supreme Court is very frightening. And it's frightening, especially to, I think, people who are involved in the legal profession, mm-hmm. like myself, because, you know, we want the consistency of having checks and balances in place for the different branches of government. And I think this is eroding that, and it's scary. Like, we don't want it to turn into a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. We don't want one branch of the government to be so omnipotent that it can squash the jobs of the other parts of the government. And I feel like this is inching towards that, and it's very scary.
Mm. Q, your thoughts?
You know, a lot of people, when we kind of saw what was coming and started to try to ring the alarm bells, always assumed that checks and balances would save us. Like, yeah, sure, the dude is, you know, a bully, and, you know, there's all these red flags about him and all the things that he's promising that he's going to do to harm people, but there's checks and balances in this country, and one person can't just decide to do whatever they want to do, right? There's guardrails, there's these systems in place, these age-old systems that have always been in place. And what you and I recognize and try to explain to people is this is not politics as usual. And as we see this guy rigging everything and really setting things up so that he controls every lever of government, you kind of saw these things coming. And even before he was reelected, you know, conversations about immunity to the president by justices that he put in place or that were pro him, we saw that those things were being put in place for times like this, so that eventually all power would be consolidated to the executive branch. It's a terrifying reality for me. I'm giving you guys the most calm version of myself. Mm. You know, there's nights where I don't sleep because I know what people that look like us are going through. I've been very, very outspoken about what life is like for my family personally now. Rams and I have a video up having that conversation that has gone viral. A lot of support, but also a lot of people who are like, you know, you guys should have done it the right way. Those people assuming that me and my family are not citizens is the funny part. It was never about legality or documentation. It was that when you look like us and you speak the language that my children speak, you become a target for an administration that does not care about legality or documents or paperwork. This is a really hate forward administration. And as you would notice, if you're watching the news or reading the headlines, they're not cracking down on criminal enterprises. They're showing up at immigration hearings and showing up at, you know, people's workplaces and hospitals and courthouses and terrorizing people. And knowing that the protections that have always existed to stand in the way of people like this doing very unlawful and unconstitutional things to people, that those protections are just kind of melting away. It's a really, really uncomfortable and scary time for our country right now.
I agree with you, Q. It's awful.
Well, so let's talk about the actual Supreme Court decision. So the outcome, in short, from the most recent Supreme Court session, I guess, is what they would call it. I'm not so familiar with the language that they use, but the outcome in short states that federal judges lack the authority to grant nationwide injunctions. And so correct me if I'm wrong, but there are federal judges in the states, right? But they're federal judges. So there'll be federal judges in Colorado or Connecticut or whatever.
Correct. They're district. Figured out,
okay,
so by,
that's what I mean. District court.
By regions and things like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. Okay, yes. That makes sense. So these judges have been, or their courtrooms, I guess, is where a lot of lawsuits have been filed to stop the Trump administration's many endeavors into fundamentally changing the culture of the United States of America with his, what are those things that you sign on the first day of office? What are they called? Or I'm the new
executive
president.
Executive orders.
Executive orders, right. So people would file lawsuits in these lower courts in Colorado and in Connecticut, those places. And it would prevent Donald Trump from implementing his executive orders because they would halt his proceedings while it was tied up in the court, right? That's my understanding so far. And the Supreme Court says that those federal judges now lack the authority to grant nationwide injunctions, meaning that that is no longer a viable, I guess, course of action for gumming up the Trump administration for folks that feel like this is a hostile government. So first question is, do I have that right? And second question is, how scary is that? Is there any other recourse beyond that? Is there any like legal mechanism that still exists to push back against that?
Well, the way that the court systems are designed is that states still have their sovereign immunity, right? Or a state has their ability to make laws, and then the federal judges and the federal system is over the whole country, and then it trickles into the states, right?
Okay.
So now with the recent Supreme Court ruling, it's saying that these federal judges can't make decisions that would affect the nation as a whole, right? As far as the injunctions, an injunction is just a fancy word for stopping something, for forcing the Trump administration not to do certain things, right?
Okay.
So Donald Trump is really, really happy about this ruling because it gives him a lot more power. He doesn't have judges now checking him on the lower levels, right? Because he's got the Supreme Court pretty much in his pocket because there's so many conservatives that he appointed, as Q said earlier. But in the federal judge bench, there's, you know, a lot more diversity. There's a harder path for him to just take over. So with this ruling, it makes it impossible for the, I won't say impossible, nothing's ever impossible, but it makes it harder for these federal judges to make decisions that would affect the country as a whole. So it's yet to be seen exactly how this is going to play out. It's still a little murky. I think that these rulings come down, and even as a lawyer, I read some of these articles because I haven't seen the actual court decision in full yet. Mm-hmm. And I say, where are they coming up with this stuff?
Yeah.
And I feel like the justices are so hell-bent on getting their agenda across that they kind of, in my opinion, just go along with whatever Trump is kind of pushing or whatever they think is leaning towards their political viewpoint instead of actually looking at the Constitution, looking at what is best for the country and what is actually legal and correct. They're just popping off in a way. Mm. And it's amazing that people in such a high office would even take the Constitution so lightly and just bend at the whim of what I think is kind of a dictatorship in the making. So did that answer your question?
I think so. I was looking for a modicum of hope there, but
not six. And that, I guess the little bit of hope is that, you know, it's yet to be seen exactly what will happen. And the Supreme Court does hold a lot of power. Mm-hmm. So for them to say, you know, it's kind of like slapping down the power of the other federal judges in the system, because, you know, it's a tiered system. Of course, the Supreme Court is the highest, mm-hmm. and then the federal system is right under that, and then the state system is under that. So it's not necessarily looking great for us to come out as not conservative right-wing people with things that are making sense or going to help, like what Q was talking about, his family and their situation and living in this country. It's kind of going to start moving towards Trump getting to do what he wants to do. But I have faith in the fact that there are still good people who hopefully will stand up if it gets to that point. Every so often we do see a Republican leader come forward and say, hey, that's not right. Hmm. Let's just hope and pray that that happens here, I guess.
Sure, sure. Okay, that's not nothing. Q, I know you had a few questions.
Well, I don't have a few questions, actually. My problem is, I think we're all kind of looking for hope. And I feel dishonest in trying to give that to people. Mm. Right? It doesn't feel very hopeful. I think we've always had this resiliency collectively. You know, even the nature of our relationship with, you know, our favorite lawyer in the world who helped us establish a nonprofit and helped us contribute to feeding 2.5 million people with hashtag lunch bag, with Living Thank Through you. Giving. Shout out to AJ.
I love that. That
was, you know, in 80 cities around the world all at the same time. We all got out of bed on Sunday mornings. Some of us missed church. A lot of people missed America's real religion, which is football. And we got food together and water and toiletries and things for people who are less fortunate. And we did that as a collective around the world, you know, even having involvement from the United Nations. So the nature of our relationship has always been trying to find that light and share it with people, people who might have lost hope or who might be living in conditions that seem like there's no repair or like there's no coming back or like things won't get better. We've kind of perpetually been those people to remind people, hey, everything's going to be okay. And not thinking about trying to change the world holistically all at once, but changing the world for individual people one at a time. We were committed to that, and we have been for a long time. So we've always been able to, without even hesitating, remind people that, hey, where we're at right now is not where we'll always be, and things can and will get better. Except I don't feel that way. So I can't pretend to. It's really hard to talk about these things because on election day, as soon as it was very, very clear to me, and it was very early in the evening when I realized we're not going to win this thing, and I still have my opinions on how or why that's the case, because not winning when we were there, we were outside, we were at the rallies, we were all around the country, and we saw the excitement, we saw the momentum. I still don't think things were above board with that, but that's another show and another conversation. The reason why I was so sad as I watched what I knew was going to be the result play out is because I foresaw all these things that are happening. Like, it's not like we weren't sure they were going to happen. Every negative, hateful promise that was made is being upheld. And he started from day one, as Ramses would say, with muzzle velocity, executive order after executive order, and not even pretending. Because right now in this big, beautiful bill, they're trying to hide bad things in the bill, but pretending that they're to the benefit of someone. That first week of executive orders, they didn't even hide anything in anything good. They didn't pretend they were doing anything for anyone. Every order was taking something away from someone, some protection, some right, some social benefit, some, you know, piece of healthcare administration, some access to education, some access to capital funding. Like, all they've done is strip things away. And what we've noticed is there are no roadblocks. There's no emergency brake. There are no systems in place to protect us. No one's coming to help us. It sounds like doom and gloom until you realize it's reality. Like, what we're seeing happen on video, on TV, on social media every day to people who don't have anybody that can stand up for them, who can't stop what's happening. And you're there essentially empowering regular people to show up and pretend to be there on behalf of the government, and just seeing essentially how long will people let us do what we want. You know, the only positive possibility I see is mass uprising by people who are just tired of being bullied around and
that's
kidnapped,
what I'm about,
taken away. But short of that, like, what do I can't even pretend to have any hope. And I'm listening to my sister over there, who is well versed in law, who has helped us in so many different ways, not just, you know, her areas of expertise, but she's helped us partner with people to learn more about things that she's not an expert on, because she knows who to put us in the same room with, or who in a text thread or an email chain. So she's always been that legal voice for us. And I know that the work that she does right now is incredibly frustrating, because the entire career that she's built has been on the basis of protecting these documents that they're shredding up and throwing in the trash. So it's very difficult for me to have that glimmer of hope, or to even ask questions, because I'm at this point now, it's like, for so long as what can we do? And I'm like, day by day, realizing nothing.
Well, kind
of hope that the worst things don't happen is what it feels like.
But maybe the glimmer of hope could be always keep your cell phone, record. They have the new Meta glasses that are sunglasses, and you can, with the click of a button, you can start recording. Record people doing these things. Record people doing horrific, racist things, and hope that you can get a hold of someone who can hold their feet to the fire. Everything's not stripped away. I tell everyone, use the technology that we have to call out people, because even if it's the court of public opinion,
that counts.
Like, yeah. if we can't win against a company for being racist or something, we can still boycott, right? We've shown that we have the power to boycott certain businesses. Look at Target. Mm-hmm. They're taking massive hits to their profits. And so you always have to have your technology in your hand or accessible, so that if something awful starts happening, you hit that record button.
Sure.
And then you can share it on your social media. You can make things go viral. Like Q said, he had a video that went viral. That is still available to every single person. Yeah. And most people do have access to a cell phone with a camera. So I know it's bleak, but I think that is the biggest tool that we have right now.
And while we're here, just, I'm going to share a piece of advice that you shared with me, with our listeners, you know, for folks that do end up, you know, because, you know, I think that a lot of our work started out just being very we were anti the way policing was done. I don't want to say we're anti-police. I don't think we're ever anti-police, but not a big fans of the way policing was done. And, you know, a piece of advice that once upon a time you shared with me that recently I posted on my social media and I saw you in the comments was that if you end up in trouble with the police, you don't have to talk to them, and it's probably smarter that you don't. So another thing I think is worth keeping in mind is, you know, we haven't lost all of our individual agency. For better or worse, we are in an economic system of capitalism, and capitalism requires, you know, participation, and we can always shape the government and the society by using the levers of capitalism, even if we're not in control of the levers of government. Another thing that I've said, you know, I think I might have said this on social media. I'm not sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, when the government is unjust, be ungovernable. And I think that that speaks volumes to, you know, the amount of power that we still have. For me, I have to remind myself in this time that this system of government that we have come to espouse in this country, one of, you know, checks and balances in terms of the branches of government, one of due process and individual liberties and freedoms. This was a system of government that came about on the backs of other forms of government. You know, and we base this system of government on societies that rose and fell. And, you know, when this country was being born, I guess I'll say, the founding fathers looked back into history and said, okay, this worked in ancient Rome, this worked in Egypt, this didn't work in Mesopotamia, this worked in England, this didn't work in Scotland, and so forth. And they put together a modern framework that they thought could survive. So that reminds me that societies rise and fall, that, you know, the framework that was put in place in this country was meant to avoid some of the stumbling blocks of older societies we know from antiquity. And, you know, those that would dismantle that or subvert that are genuinely a threat to, you know, the long-term interest of this country, and that's true in my belief. And to excuse one or part of the Constitution, even with the Supreme Court supporting you, to excuse one part of the Constitution for a temporary fix when it's a societal framework, it feels like, you know, a maneuver that will cost us more in the long term than it gains us in the short term for people that really do feel like due process should be skipped in order to expedite the deportation of immigrants. And so I think we have a duty to resist this government. It is time to be ABA. Become a better ally, Baba. On today's Baba, we want you to check out the Children's Defense Fund. You can find out more at childrensdefense.org. I'm going to read this directly from their website. It says, "We work at the intersection of well-being and racial justice for children and youth. We work alongside and amplify the power of youth and families through advocacy, community organizing, direct service, and public policy. For more than 50 years, our work has expanded beyond serving children to include young people as they mature into adulthood. We're training the next generation of leaders who will guide us toward a brighter future where every young person has the opportunity to thrive. Our history is rooted in the civil rights and women's movements, and we're carrying the fight for equity forward. Our legacy connects our work to the past. We're answering the call to respond to this moment, dismantle racist policies, and overcome systemic inequities for our nation's children and youth. Children's Defense Fund envisions a nation where marginalized children flourish. Leaders prioritize their well-being, and communities wield the power to ensure they thrive. Your support is the driving force behind our movement, building direct services and policy advocacy that uplift and amplify young people's voices. Join our community of change makers and be a part of the movement that's reshaping the future for generations to come." So again, we want you to check out childrensdefense.org. These are just good people doing good work, especially at a time when doing good work is more challenging than ever. You wouldn't think that the Children's Defense Fund, an organization that is trying to help out marginalized children who are at the specific intersection of certain, you know, holes in society and, you know, historical frameworks, would be under attack, but they are, and your support would go a long way right now. So keep it in mind. That's going to do it for us on today's show. Once again, big shout out to our guest, Amy Owen, a.k.a. Pineapple Lawyer, for joining us. Be sure to follow her on all social media at Pineapple Lawyer. You can find me on all social media at Ramses Ja.
I am Q Ward on all social media as well.
And, you know, do us a favor, hit the website, civiccipher.com, because we want you to send us any questions you have, any topics you want us to cover. You can also make a donation. The show keeps growing with your support, so please keep supporting. Be sure to follow the show on all social media at Civic Cipher. That's CIVICCIPHER. Particularly on YouTube. We're growing our YouTube channel, and your support means a lot over there. You can download this in any previous episode. And we'll talk again next week, all right?
Peace.
To stream additional content or to download entire episodes, visit CivicCipher.com.